Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Beagley. Really glad to be with you guys. I'm the associate global pastor here at Eastview. And it's my first time preaching so far at Eastview, so just want to set my standards really low. Good luck to me. We're continuing with the theme of every day. And I saw your shirts. They look very nice. They're for purchase, I think. That's your plug. Pretty good graphics. Really excited to chat about this idea. And my day is every day follow. So this theme of every day, we're talking about consistency, right? We're talking about doing things day by day, trying to be consistent as possible. And I'm thinking, what are some things that you do every day? You know, I want to say some of the obvious ones, like, you know, showering, but is that true? I'm not here to judge. Brushing your teeth, you know, but is that true? Do you guys miss a couple days? Every day is hard. Consistency can be tough. There's so many days. How many days is every day? So many. So many days. In fact, we live in a time with COVID and pandemic, and I find myself procrastinating because I have so many days. I have so many days to do stuff. And it's so easy for us to take advantage of the days. It's so easy for us to take each day for granted. Living for Jesus every day. Do we really do that? Because if I don't do it today, I can do it tomorrow. I think about how, you know, situations where people are living every day to the fullest. We just celebrated Juneteenth yesterday over at Bloomington campus. It was an amazing time. One of the first times our church has been able to do this. Been reaching the community. Very encouraging. But imagine your life as, you know, living in slavery. Maybe it's in American history, or maybe it's somewhere else around the world, living in slavery every day. And then you get the news that you are not a slave anymore. You get the news that you are free. Now, every day from that period, every day from Juneteenth and on, that generation lived every day to the fullness of their freedom. They knew what every day meant. Me and my wife had the opportunity to serve in Thailand. We worked with exploited women and children. We work with a lot of women working in prostitution. They find themselves in very exploitive situations. Oftentimes they were manipulated, they were tricked. In some situations, they were so dire that this was the best profession that they could have chosen for their situation. And every night, they would even go to the temple beforehand, they would make an offering, and they would pray for a customer. And every night, they would be manipulated, they would be exploited, they would have unspeakable things done to them. We had the opportunity to share about freedom in Christ. We had the opportunity to help give them new opportunities with hairstyling and learning new skills in the cosmetology business and teaching them how to do baking and the coffee shop stuff, barista, that's the word. They got to live a new life in freedom. Following Jesus every day means knowing your freedom in Christ. Following Jesus every day means knowing that you are valuable. When you follow Jesus, your honor is restored. You have worth, and you are living in that. You know that you are valuable. You know that you are valued. You know that you are loved. This is my last example about kind of this idea of taking every day for granted. You guys ever experienced spiritual warfare? One way that I've experienced it is through dreams. Anyone in here have bad dreams before? Like, you know, really bad, like night terrors? I would say that is spiritual warfare. And that's a whole other sermon. But when we're in Thailand, my son was born there. His name's Jordan. And one thing you can know is that missionary kids, especially when they're young, they can be a very easy target because their parents are doing all the missions work, and you know, they didn't have a choice, and maybe they don't know about Jesus yet, but they're very easy targets. And again, we can go into this later, what was happening, but every night, if we didn't pray for him, he would wake up in the middle of the night with a night terror. When we prayed for him, when we prayed protection of Christ over him in Jesus' name, he slept. So every night we would pray for him. And that's us depending on him, on Jesus, every night. Following Jesus every day means living in the power that God has, living in the victory of Christ against any darkness. And that's going to be my challenge for you a little bit later, but kind of this idea of every day, it's so easy to take every day for granted, but would we be people who live in the freedom of Christ every day? Would we be people who live in the honor of Christ, knowing that we have worth in him and that we would live in the power of God? Would we do this every day? Today we're talking about following. Every day, follow. But I'd say before we can even follow Jesus, we need to figure out what we're following right now. Because you can't follow two things. We're talking about following Jesus, but before we get there, we're going to look at the who we're following, what we are following, where we're following, and when. And then I'm going to pitch you on why you should follow Jesus, how you should follow Jesus. So if you're not a follower of Jesus today, right now, that's okay. This is going to be for you. But for those who would say that they are followers of Christ, we're going to... I'm going to have you guys just stand real quick for the reading of the word this morning. So go ahead and just stand. I'm going to read. This is your Father's Day gift to me. I know I'm making you stand. And then I'm going to read the scripture. At the end, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And at the same time, you guys say, thanks be to God. This is 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 6. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may have a seat. I have so much power up here. This is great. So I'm just going to kind of look at some of my notes real quick from the text. But has anyone in here sinned before? Well, that's great. This is for you, so this is going to be relevant for you guys. I'm a sinner as well. I fail to follow Jesus every day. I do my best, and he makes up for the times when I'm lost and when I can't. Talks about Jesus as the propitiation for our sin. If you guys are looking in yours, it doesn't say propitiation, but propitiation is just a fancy way of saying that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for God's wrath towards sin. You see, when you stand before a perfect God, when you die, if there is any sin in you that's not covered, you can't exist with God. He's too holy. He's too holy. It doesn't work that way. But if you have faith in Jesus, you are justified by this faith. You are made righteous in God's eyes, and God welcomes you in. So it is all because of Jesus that we even can have that relationship. We can even follow Jesus because he's our propitiation. You are only saved through faith in Jesus. So yeah, we get to verse 3, just to make sure. It's not being obedient to Jesus that justifies you or makes you worthy. Only Jesus can do that. But obedience to God and following God, you should see transformation in your behavior over time. So we could talk about sanctification both positionally and progressively, but what we're looking at is Jesus saves, and over time, if you are following him, you will look more and more like him. Verse 5 is kind of saying, to know him is to follow him. And verse 6 is really where I'm going to focus. To follow is to walk in the same way that Jesus did. Being just like Jesus. So to follow Jesus is to ask, who would Jesus love? To follow Jesus is to ask, what would Jesus do? To follow Jesus is to ask, where would Jesus go? Even think about today, right now, if Jesus was here with us, where would he go to serve and love the people in this town? To follow Jesus is to ask, When would Jesus be on mission? So before we begin to follow Jesus, let's identify what we are currently following. So this idea of following, right? Who is leading us? Who is leading us in our lives? Is it maybe it's parents or friends? But identify who it is in your life. Even this idea of followership, right? I think about social media. Who are you following? Check your feed. Check your feed. Influencers get paid to influence people, to lead them. Who are you following? Is it society? Is it culture? Maybe it's peer pressure. Maybe it's familial expectations. Ruthie, you said this word. You said kind of this self-absorption. Self-absorption? Am I saying it right? Self-absorption. There. Who are you following? So we're going to take a look at this. So the who of who are you following? Again, who is it? Who's influencing you? Check your feed. Another thing you might ask is, well, who are your friends? If you ask me, what are you going to be like in 5 years? Just tell me who your five closest friends are. You're going to be a little bit like all five of them. That's who you're going to turn into. So who do you respect? Who is influencing you? Who do you spend all your time with? Who are you following? Don't make this sound like I'm saying, oh, you can't have non-Christian friends. It'd be awkward if your non-Christian friend's in here right now. But what I'm saying is, who's doing more influencing, you or them? Who are you following in this case? To follow Jesus is to love who Jesus loves. And who is that? We can look at scriptures and we can see he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners and people living in sin, people in sexual immorality. He was with those people. He was loving those people. To follow Jesus is to love who Jesus loves. And who is that? People who don't know him. Are you following Jesus? The next is, what are you following? What are you following? A question you might ask is, what do you spend your time all day? What do you do all day? You might look at your calendar or look at your screen time. Oh, one of the scariest things to do is show someone your screen time. It's so embarrassing. You spent how long on Marco Polo? Is that the thing now? What trends are you following? What are you following? What trends are you following? Are these skinny jeans? No, I just have big legs. What are you, are you eating the Tide Pods? Wait, is that what they're called? Tide Pods? Are you eating AirPods now? Oh, pray for, God help us all. What trends are you following? What are you trying to be like? What does society say to follow? What does society say to do? There's a story of a guy. And someone asked him, if you could do anything, a blank slate, what would you do? And this guy talks about visiting other cultures and investing in other people and taking time to figure out who he is, investing in himself, spending time in his relationship with God, serving other people, tasting new foods, things he's never been able to try and explore before. And then right after that, someone asked him, what is society telling you to do? College, job, marriage, kids, house, retire. What do you think he did? Because the message of society is very strong. My next question is, what is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to follow? Because he might say one thing, but that message of society is pretty strong. Or when's the last time you've actually been able to, with open hands, say, God, what do you have for my life? If you could paint my life on a picture, where would you paint me? What would I be doing? Who would I be helping? How would I be following you? How would I be being obedient to you? It's hard to do that. Because like as Ruthie said, everything we do revolves around us and our futures. But following Jesus is saying, no, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. What are we following? To follow Jesus is to ask, what would Jesus do? Next is, where are you following? Are you following in environments that are hard? Easy? Is it hard to follow Jesus? Is it safe? Is it dangerous? Is it clean? Dirty? Is it comfortable? Is it uncomfortable? Where are you following? Through the lens of discipleship, think of yourself as manure. That's right, I said it, manure. You guys are poo. It's not offensive. In fact, in some cases, manure is really important for growing stuff, right? So if you guys are spread out, you're probably going to help some stuff grow. But it's when you're all packed together tightly, it stinks bad. Where are you following? Are you following in a tight, packed group of people? Or are you spreading yourself out to produce fruit? Where are you following? This is a Keith Falconer quote. He says, "I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light." If you only have one candle of life to burn, where are you going to be burning it? Where are you going to be following Jesus? My last illustration on this one, but just picture Jesus as your true north. All right, you got your compass. Where's my Boy Scouts out? All right. Jesus is your true north. And it's not like you're pointed south, right? You're following Jesus. You're going north. You're not going east. You're not going west. You're going north. But maybe you're an arm's length away. Or maybe you can see him. You can see which direction he's going, and I'm just a little bit off. And you can see him, and everything's fine. But guess what? Over time, that small deviation, you're going to be going in completely different directions. You're not going to be able to see him anymore. So are you following Jesus or not? Are you following him at arm's length? Are you following beside him? Is Jesus in sight, and you know where he's going? You're going to lose him. To follow Jesus is to follow him anywhere and go where Jesus would go. Last question is, when are you following? What does it look like to be a Christian in our society today? It can look like hour at church, maybe I serve for an hour, small group for an hour. When you look at how often you are following Jesus, what does that look like? Society will say, yeah, it's like 3 hours to be a Christian. But to follow Jesus is to be on mission with Jesus. To follow Jesus is to intentionally go after him. It's to continually grow in him and allowing Jesus to do things through you. So how often are you on mission? How often are you loving what Jesus loves? What's that again? It's people that don't know him. When are you following Jesus? There's a story of a guy named Paul, and I was going to the gym, gotta get fit, what's up? And there was a homeless lady. I mean, I'm in Santa Barbara, there's a lot of homeless people, and I felt like God was saying, you have a blanket in your car, go give it to her. And this lady, she was hard to look at. She was filthy, and I was scared of her. And Jesus said, go give her your blanket. You have it in your car. She's cold. It was a really, really cold night, I remember. And I was, coming up with every excuse in the book. And so, God, I'm going to work out, got to get fit. And I'm meeting a friend, and, and I'll give it to her after. And I come back, and I'm like, I'm kind of rushing now because I've been praying for all these opportunities. Jesus, would you give me opportunities to be your light in the darkness? And this woman is gone. I've never found her. I there was a period of time where I was looking for her. And it was gone. I missed that opportunity. I was disobedient. I did not follow Jesus in that time. Because my working out was more important. Because the things that I do are, I'm self-absorbed. And I do things for me before I want to do things for other people. To follow Jesus, to ask, who would Jesus love? What would Jesus do? Where would Jesus go? And when would Jesus be on mission? To follow Jesus is to be obedient to him. It's to say yes to him in the little things and the big things. And I promise you, as you continue to say yes to him in the little things, he wants to continue to grow you. He's going to give you bigger and bigger things to impact his kingdom if you let him. Like Ruthie said, God doesn't need you, but he invites you to follow him and to be used for his glory. Would you say yes in the little things so that you may say yes in the big things? Have we identified our idols? Have we identified what we're spending time on, what we prioritize, what we value? If you're still having a hard time, what am I following? Look at your speech. That will show you what you value, what you talk about. What do you prioritize? What do you spend your time doing? That's your priority. So if we're going to look at why you should follow Jesus now. And if you don't know this, then just even just close your eyes for a minute and just take this in. But follow Jesus because he knows you. He knows everything about you. He not only knows your name, but he intimately and deeply knows everything about you. Psalm 139 says he knit you in your mother's womb. The ugliness that is in your life, the sin, the deficiency, he loves you anyway. Romans 5:8 says, when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Leviticus 26:12 reminds us that he wants to be our God. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be glorified by us. He wants to be enjoyed by us. He calls us sons and daughters. And there is nothing that we could do to earn his love or to earn this type of parenthood or this type of relationship. But because of Jesus and because of our faith in him, we are able to have a relationship with him. He gives us an inheritance that we don't earn. He wants what is best for you, and he has a purpose for you. Romans 8:28 says, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Ephesians 2:10 talks about you as his masterpiece, as his handicraft, as his workmanship. And he is continually developing you for things, for good works that he has planned for you in advance. The question is, are you going to be used by him? Do you want to say yes to him? Do you want to follow him? Jeremiah 29:11 summed up, he has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. For the times where you feel lost or when you're like, why is this happening? Just know he has a plan for you. He knows your name. He loves you. And he invites you. He won't stop loving you. He won't stop wanting to use you. He's jealous for you. He wants you to be right in the center of his will for your life. And that's the safest place you can be. Right in the center of what God wants you to be doing. Are you there? What are you following? Are you following Jesus or are you following something else? Because you can't do both. Last is, how are you following? For those who would say, yeah, I am a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. How are you following him? What is the manner of your following? Is it pleasing to him? Does it glorify him? Is it annoying? Is it self-righteous? Is it judgmental? Is it, there's their ridiculous love? Is it irresistible? Is there fruit? Is there fruit in your life? Following Jesus means creating space in him for your life, kind of this intentionality with him. Because passively following Jesus is the arm's reach. I know where he's going. But I'm going to take my eyes off him for a little bit because I got to do my stuff over here. Passively following Jesus, all of a sudden you're following the wrong Jesus. You're following what history says or what society says about Jesus. You're following what society says, what culture is going to say. The scripture that we looked at today, verse 6, it says, we ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. He loved those on the margins. This is Ruthie again. Ruthie, I think the Holy Spirit was doing something. But to be a Christ follower is to pick up your cross and follow him. If anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. So let's break that down. Giving up your own way. Identify what you are currently following, because you can't serve two masters. What are you following? What is getting in the way of you following Jesus? Taking up your cross. By any means necessary. Even death. Be obedient to the one you're following. That means anywhere, anyhow. Follow me. Following Jesus means you're all in, no matter what. Regardless of circumstance, you're going to stay right behind Jesus. Not trying to get in front of him, right behind him. He knows the way. It's a cause to die for, just like he died for us. I think about Jesus' followers. Jesus' followers were people just like you. They weren't like specialized in theology. They were your average people. And God was doing amazing things through them. They were obeying Jesus' commandment to them to be missional, to be a bold witness in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So think about it. It started in the Middle East, in modern-day Israel, and he's saying to the ends of the earth. And so we're over here in central Illinois, the good land. I've never done this in my life. We only are able to even know about Jesus because they accomplished their mission. These disciples didn't gain any worldly fame. They were not worthy in the eyes of the world. They didn't gain any riches. They weren't popular. They weren't famous. They died as martyrs. But because of their obedience, we have the opportunity to know. And since we have the opportunity to know, we have the opportunity to share that good news. There are still 2 to 3 billion people on this earth who have never heard about Jesus. Not because they don't want to. It's because they've never heard. Following Jesus means going wherever he goes, wherever he wants you to go. What does it look like to be hands open saying, God, what do you want from me? So Paul, what are you saying? Following Jesus means I have to die. You are going to die anyway. You are going to die and you are going to live in complete separation from God because of your sin. That's what hell is. It's complete separation from God. We were a fallen humanity, but Jesus. But because of Jesus, who loved this world, because God loved this world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We should follow Jesus because he saved us. He made a way. Following Jesus means that we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to worry about the hard times that we come on because God has a plan for us. He's a plan for us to have life with him. If you are in Christ, you were created to follow Jesus. You're created to sacrificially serve. You were created for radically loving people that don't know him, even if they're different than you, even if it's scary. You were created to boldly obey him and be a dangerous witness for Christ. So following Jesus is going wherever he would go, figuring out who would Jesus love, doing what Jesus would do, where Jesus would be, now a mission all the time. Let's pray. God, I just confess that I fail to follow you. Thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. God, would you help us to follow you? Would you help us to cast down our idols? Would the people in this room right here, would they be a generation that identifies what they were following and says, you are not my master? And they live in the freedom of following Jesus. They know that their shame is restored, that they have intrinsic value and worth in him who calls us sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of the King. And would we live in the power of Jesus, knowing that Satan's got nothing on us. We were going to die, but because of Jesus, we can have life in him. Amen.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.